Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
I don't know that most of us are brave enough to ask the question that Jesus does in today's gospel. Do you have enough courage to ask your friends or coworkers, "What do people think of me? Who do they say that I am?" You probably wouldn't get an honest answer from most of them. But in fact, if you really wanted to know the answer to that question, you probably need to ask an enemy. But I hope you are brave, because today I'm challenging you to go down an even scarier path with me and ask yourself a question. Ask yourself, who am I? Who are you beyond the facade, the front that you put up for the world to see? Who are you beyond your role in your family, your job title, degree, your trade? So often we tend to want to be like the people we see in the commercials that are all neat, well-dressed, smiling with perfect teeth, and their hair gleaming, underarms sterilized and smelling great, perfect hair, sexy bodies, stress-free, free with nothing but laughter, joy, and the good life all around. But we all know that's not real. That's not who any of us really are. Not anything will ever be. But who are you beyond the externals? In today's gospel, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And he's asking us the same question. But I would suggest that before we can answer that truthfully, we must look inward and ask ourselves, who am I? Who am I as a Catholic, as a disciple of Christ, as a person of faith? And the way we answer that question will say a lot about us. Does Christ have any effect on your day-to-day living? Does your faith affect the way you treat others or the way you treat yourself? You know, our church teaches that God created us in his own image and likeness. But most of us like to kind of turn that around. We try to make Jesus into our own image, our own likeness. You may recall the early Christians wanted him to be a mighty warrior who would slay all their enemies and free their people. Years ago, the Ku Klux Klan tried to make him into a middle-class white American. Catholics have tried to make Jesus Catholic, and Protestants have tried to make Jesus Protestant from the beginning. Democrats and Republicans, of course, both try to make him their own. But we want him to be like us, the kind of Savior we want, to do for us what we want, and when we want it. Many of you may know that a couple weeks ago, my family and I went through one of the worst experiences of our lives. As darkness fell one evening, my 7-year-old grandson was lost in the woods for almost 2 hours, right next to a large creek with strong currents, swollen by the recent rains. Of course, we were all terrified our heads quickly filled with all the possible things that could happen as we went through probably the longest 2 hours of our life. Somehow, he crossed that swollen creek and was found soaking wet, but safe and sound through the heroic efforts of the Clarksville Police Department. And as you might imagine, once we were reunited, there were lots of hugs, lots of tears, and kisses. And once we'd all calmed down a little bit, I asked him how he had crossed that dangerous, swollen creek. He said he wasn't sure, but that God had placed a log in that creek about halfway across that he could hold on to and rest. Out of the mouths of babes. There were more tears, most of them mine. You know, I prayed nonstop for that 2 hours as he was missing. Even went back to my truck and got my rosary. I never took it out of the case, but I held on to it for those 2 hours as I silently prayed. I doubt that I've ever prayed so long and so fervently in my life. And every day since, I've reflected on my prayers and the events of that evening. And after sitting with today's readings for the last week or so, I've come to conclude that my prayers that evening were just me selfishly asking Jesus to do what I wanted him to do, to be the kind of Savior that I wanted, to do for me what I wanted and when I wanted it. I didn't have enough faith to simply trust in God, to accept that his will be done. Some of you may say, well, that's understandable. Most of us would have probably done the same thing. And that may be so. But my little 7-year-old grandson saw God in a log sticking out of a creek that evening. Where did I see God that night? Who am I? Certainly, I know God delivered my grandson safely back to us, and I continue to offer him prayers of thanksgiving each day. And I thank him for that big log as well. And don't misunderstand, I'm not beating myself up, but I am trying to grow and trust in my Lord and Savior. Sometimes I think we fail to realize that we don't call Jesus, that he calls us, and he calls each of you. Not just deacons, priests, or bishops, but every one of you here and every one of you watching at home. It was his cross that was signed on your forehead before you were baptized. And because of that baptism, you are his disciple. So the question we must all ask ourselves is, are we living as a true and trusting disciple of Christ? Again, ask yourself, who am I? Have no doubt that Christ is with us here today, and someday he will come in power and glory to place all creation at the foot of his Father. But today he often comes quietly, softly, invisibly, maybe in the shape of a log, no matter where we are. We need to look for him in sacred scripture, and certainly in the most sacred host that we will all shortly receive right here. But we also must look for him inside ourselves. Look for him on the faces of your loved ones, but look especially for him where he tells us to look, in the hungry and thirsty, the stranger and the naked, the sick and the imprisoned, the suffering and the addicted, in the eyes of little children. And look for him deep within your soul. And look for him as the strong current and raging waters of life toss you about. Recognize him as a log to hold on to in the middle of the chaos, offering a place to pause and to rest. Who am I? This week, I would encourage you to pray on this question wherever you go, where you work, where you play, live, or go to school. Is anyone looking for Christ? Will they find him in you? Or will they have to look for another? If Jesus were to ask you, who do you say that I am? Do you know yourself and your soul well enough to give a true and heartfelt answer? And most importantly, continue to pray. even for what you're praying for, might seem to be selfish or self-centered. C.S. Lewis once said this. He said, "I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I'm helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It may not change my situation, but it changes me." So who am I? I am a disciple of Christ, often falling short, but always struggling to be all he created me to be. So brothers and sisters, it does us good to question ourselves. But more importantly, we must continue to pray and prepare to be changed. Even in the midst of our worst failures, fears, and tragedies, God is always there, always with us, always loving us.